Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Luke chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. While you're looking up that passage of Scripture, I will just want to make a note of what we'll be doing next Sunday. Be the pumpkin show service down on the square at 11:30. And the Good News Choir, the Good News Club choir, will be opening up the service there on the square. And then the Young Confederates will be singing as well on into the service. So once we leave here, 11:30, just make your way down to the square there where the stage will be set up, and we'll have our service sponsored by the Lions Club. And this will be our third year. And we've had good attendance. And first year it rained, and we still had a good attendance. Last year it didn't rain. And this year it's not going to rain again, hopefully.
And Pastor, next Sunday, this will be a special day for this church.
Yes.
Because, well, for one, the kids are back. So
and some 70, right? Some 70-year members, yes. Okay. All right, looking in Luke chapter 19, the Scripture says, Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and he came down and received him gladly. And when they, the people around, probably a lot of Jews, other people, when they saw that, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Remember, Jesus said, you are the first without sin, cast the first stone. Different situation, but they was upset because he was going to be a guest with a sinner, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, and more than likely he had there, you wouldn't have said that, right? I will give you back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. And here is the key verse. If you ever wonder why Jesus came to this earth, if you ever wonder or even thought about it, why Jesus came to this earth, and I want to add to that. If you ever wonder why we are here on this earth, why God placed us right in the midst of this wonderful creation, why he has placed us here on this earth, it's not always to be happy, which everybody's not always happy, are they? There's a lot of up and downs, a lot of mountains, a lot of valleys, and in-betweens. I love this scripture because Jesus specifically went through Jericho. He just says, think, well, this town is near, just go through. He made an appointment. He always makes an appointment at the right time for you and me as well. But this is the key verse why Jesus came to this earth. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which are lost. And in Romans 3:23, it says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So every one of us are sinners. So we can never look around and look at someone else and say they're a more sinner than I am. You can't say that. Even those that have committed the most heinous crimes, because there's no degree or level of sin, because God sees sin as sin. Now, since this is American Baptist Women's Day, and they didn't have another guest speaker, I wanted us to look at why we do missions. Baptists were founded on missions. Now, I'm not speaking the mission message. I'm just pointing that out. Back when I was just a small boy living in Tennessee, born and raised there, all the churches in the area that I remember always had, well, like, I'll take my home church, Gath Baptist or Gath Missionary Baptist Church. The missionary was first. All of the churches in the South has always had missionary before the name of the church, or Gath Missionary, or Shellsford, or Northside, Cornerstone, and all of those had the name in the Missionary Baptist Church. So the Baptists were founded on missions. Lottie Moon spent her life ministering overseas to those who were lost. So a lot of people can identify in life, early in life, what their purpose is in life, and that is to serve either as a missionary or some capacity in witnessing and serving God with their life. If there's any point that we become bored with life, or we're wondering, you know, what is life all about, you can go back and read this scripture, and then you can read verse 10, and it will be a good reminder of why God placed us here on this earth. Because Jesus, he said he's the light of the world, and then he also says that you are the light of the world. He's the big light. We are the other lights that surrounds Christ, and we are to reflect what Christ is doing in our life. So I want to point out in this message today some things that Jesus did that we should follow as a pattern. He's a great example, the perfect example. And there's a song that says, God can do a lot with little. God can do a lot with a little, and little is a lot with God. So, when we look at a little of what our part is, it's more than just coming to church and filling a pew, isn't it? It's getting involved, doing something for the Lord. It's engaging. It's allowing God to whatever he filled our life with, which is the Spirit of God. From the time that we accepted him as our Savior, he has gifted us or instilled in us a gift to be able to speak in his behalf. And you take people like Zacchaeus, so hated, so despised, You know, he was just fed up with his life. And the Bible said he was rich. He didn't have a want for anything. But he was fed up with his life. He was miserable. He was empty. Not with the possession, but he was empty spiritually inside. And he was looking for something, and he was willing to climb up a sycamore tree to find it. Short in stature. But whatever it took, Zacchaeus, I think he went down to Lowe's or somewhere like that and bought him a big ladder, if he had to get up in that tree. Because he was bound determined to get up, because he could not see Jesus coming through. He knew Jesus was coming through. Jesus knew he was coming through. And Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was going to be up in that sycamore tree. So you see, Jesus made a point. He specifically looked for Zacchaeus. And I said that God can do a lot with a little, and a little is a lot with God. See, Jesus showed how he can take one little life like Zacchaeus, and use it as a seed to multiply his kingdom and righteousness, as a demonstration of his power, his love, his grace, working through the most unlikely people. And if you would ask anybody in Jericho if Zacchaeus was a promising person that the Lord could use, and they would say, "Are you kidding me? He's a robber. He's a thief. He defrauds people out of money. God can't use somebody like that." But see, God chooses people with the right heart, that's conditioned, that he can nurture for his honor and glory. The Gallup polls report that 72, this is a pretty high number, 72% of Americans don't know their next door neighbor. How many of you know your next door neighbor? Well, that defeats that poll, doesn't it? I know most all of my next-door neighbors, because I've made a point to go through the house and introduce to them who I am, invite them to church. Well, one across the street there, uncandid-like, met them under different terms than you normally do, because their dog killed 4 of my chickens. So I just went over there and let them know that had happened, to keep their dog at home, okay? And the lady looked at her dog. She said, "Bad dog." And I said, "You left 3 out. Bad, 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 bad dog." Because there's 4 chicken roosters. So what I'm getting at, you know, a lot of times we don't know our neighbors, and we don't meet on the best behavior, but you know, it's okay. I invited her to church anyway. And so forth. So Jesus went about doing good. He went about looking for people, and he sought out Zacchaeus and said, you know, "Zacchaeus, I got a plan for you." See, Jesus initiated evangelism with Zacchaeus in a public place where everyone could learn from that encounter. Now, Jesus was always willing to go, you know, to the rejected. He was willing to go to the despised. He was willing to go to the lonely sinner. Wherever they resided, he was willing to go. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, But those who are sick, I did not come in to call the righteous, but I come to call sinners. A Times reporter of New Philadelphia, Ohio, reported in September 1985, there was a celebration in New Orleans, municipal pool. They were celebrating this pool. And there was 200 people that had gathered for this celebration. What they were celebrating, that since that pool had been opened, the municipal pool, there in New Orleans, no one had ever drowned in that pool. It was a celebration. It was all gathered around and so forth, celebrating. 100 of those that were there, out of the 200, were certified lifeguards. 100 certified lifeguards. And as they was meeting, they did unknowing to anyone, four of the lifeguards that were on duty towards the end started moving people away, clearing out, because the celebration was ending. One of the lifeguards noticed someone in the pool, face down. Jerome Moody, 31-year-old gentleman, happened to fall in, I guess, couldn't swim or something happened. They tried to revive him, but could not. You think about all of those people, and 100 of them were certified lifeguards, and a man drowned right in their midst. Look at all the churches in this world. Look at all the churches just here in Ripley County. Look at all the Christians that we know in this county. And look at maybe just one around us that we know is doing the same thing as Jerome Moody is doing. They're drowning in their sin. And we're certified as Christians to be lifeguards to this individual or to that individual. And we know often who they are, don't we? We need to take an initiative like Jesus and rescue them. Throw out the lifeline. We know who it is too, don't we? It's Jesus Christ. We be like Jesus Christ, and it could be a Zacchaeus. Someone who is miserable with their life, miserable with life itself, not understanding what their purpose is in life. Everything is going wrong in their life, but you know, there's one person that can turn it around. That's Jesus Christ. He can turn everyone's life around. A negative attitude or whatever it might be, a sinful heart, can turn it around. Just like he did Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was ready for a change in his life because in the end he said, whatever I've taken, I'll give it back four times. Boy, that was like a confession, wasn't it? That was a confession for him. I'll give it back because I know I took it. It doesn't belong to me. I'm miserable with it. And you see, that's what sin does to the heart. It will make you miserable to the point. And if Christians, if we don't pick up on that and notice that there are people out here hurting and lost, dying in their sin, they're going to be like Jerome Moody, face down in death of sin. See, Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He personalized his approach to evangelize the identity closely to those whom he ministered. See, he said, hurry, come down. He said, I must stay with you. I'm going to eat with you. See, Jesus took the first step in reaching out to Zacchaeus. He cut through the exclusiveness of the people, and a lot of those were Jews, and approached this outsider. See, to them, Zacchaeus was an outsider, even though he was a resident. He was an outsider. He wasn't one of them because he didn't fit in with them. And Zacchaeus probably thought the same thing. I don't fit in with those people. I'm high above them. In reality, he was just as sick and sinful as the rest of them. And they didn't recognize it because they hated him. And hate cannot enter a part of the kingdom of God. So often the first step is making a friend in the most difficult way. Just like I have sometimes, my neighbor. But you make the best of it. You make something good from it. See, Jesus approached Zacchaeus without fear of what others would say about eating in the house of a tax collector, and especially a sinner. And Jesus, he didn't fear men, nor did he allow people to discourage him from his mission. If God plants you on a mission, you shouldn't be discouraged, or you should have no fear, because as God has always said, I'm always with you. I'll never forsake you. And if we remember that, fear will not even be a picture, or will be even enter into our mind as something that's going to be an obstacle for us in life. See, Jesus didn't fear men, nor did he allow people to discourage him from his mission. And next thing that I've noticed in this scripture, Jesus knew the powerful message. It would send, what he would send to Zacchaeus and his household through his willingness to eat at his house. See, Jesus took the option of being misunderstood by the community. He took the option. Some would say chance, but I say he took the option. He took the opportunity to be misunderstood, to reach this man and his family, to deliver him from sin. In verse 7 it says, "And when they saw it, they all began to grumble." Jesus says, "So what? Grumble. Go ahead and grumble." He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. See, Jesus, he looked beyond Zacchaeus' limitations and saw a soul hunger for salvation. And when you see this and you read this scripture, Zacchaeus was hungry for salvation. He was hungry for something that he knew he couldn't get anywhere else, because he had probably tried everything in this world to find satisfaction, and he knew he wasn't going to find it until he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people have a hard time overlooking others' faults. But Jesus didn't when it came to Zacchaeus and others. Jesus saw the heart of a man who longed to be forgiven and reconciled with God. And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." See, when you look at that phrase, come down immediately. Come down now. You see, Jesus indicated a certain urgency in his approach to the lost. You can't wait. You can't wait. You can't wait a day or two or till you get in the mood or the time is right. Because if the Lord lays upon your heart at a certain moment or a certain time of the day to move or ask or to witness, that is the urgent time. It would be like Jesus saying, "Come down now. I need to dine with you now. I want to build a relationship with you now." And if we could see that in our own life, hallelujah, there'd be a lot of people walking around the streets of Sales, Indiana, shouting glory to God. Hey, somebody cared about me. And they might even say, I was a Zacchaeus. I was, someone that was an outcast, rejected, despised. But yet someone, Versailles Baptist Church, or someone in my community, cared enough to share Jesus. See, Jesus proved that no one is hopelessly lost. And when we look at Zacchaeus, he represented the most unlikely person to change when Jesus walked into Jericho that day. You see, when we go into the power of the Holy Spirit, we should always be ready to let the Lord use us to accomplish greater things. And that's exactly what he told the disciples. I'm going to be with the Heavenly Father. I'm leaving this earth very soon. I'm going back to the Heavenly Father, and you're going to do greater things. I will have accomplished why the Lord sent me, but you're going to accomplish a much greater thing. And when we think, how can we accomplish greater things what God did? Well, we're not apart from Him. He is working through us, and that's why we are doing greater things. Greater things that we can do on our own. So, we should always be ready to let the Lord use us to accomplish greater things. And Jesus said in John 14:12, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, will be able to do greater things, and these things because I go to the Father." That's what he told his disciples. And that's what he tells us. And then Philippians 4:13, we can do everything God asks us to do with the help of Christ who gives us the strength and power. Jot that. You want to jot that scripture down. You need to jot that down. When you're thinking, I can't do anything, I'm lesser. But think of yourself greater than. I can do more. Because Philippians 4:13 said, we can do everything God asks us to do with the help of Christ who gives us strength and power. See, Paul himself is saying this. And Paul would have been one that would say, everything I've ever done, I'm the greatest sinner in the world, everything's behind me. I'm the greatest of sinners. But now I can say with confidence that we can be and be helped by Christ who gives us strength and power. See, Jesus uses changed lives, and that's what he did with Paul. He was changed. Zacchaeus was changed to amplify the message most unlikely places and most unlikely people at most unlikely times when we submit to his will. See, Jesus initiated a relationship with Zacchaeus that helped him put aside his pride. He had to. There's no pride when it comes to us standing face to face with Jesus. Jesus showed how love can overcome any excuse, limitation, background, financial, emotional, social, cultural, or any religion. A young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale, and he asked, and he went to his manager, and he spoke about it, about losing this sale in the most discouraging way. And his comment was, I guess you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. And the seasoned manager replied to this young man. He said, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty, to make him want it. Isn't that true? That's true in life, and it's true when it comes to meeting and reaching people for Christ. So it is with reaching people for Christ. Our life should be so filled with Christ that others around us create a thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it should do. Our lives should create our influence, what we share, and our intent of pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ should make other people, the way we live our life, thirst for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to try to drive them or make them do something, but cause them to thirst to want to do it. And you know, your thirst should be that great as well, that you'd be willing to do anything. Climb up a tree, go out on a limb if you need to, get out of our comfort zone to do something for Christ. He did something great for us, right? Because he died for our sin. And we are a living example of what can happen when we submit our life, yield it to the power and strength of our Almighty God. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the power that you give us. Lord, that you are able to demonstrate through our lives when we submit to you. And we thank you for your scriptures. And we thank you for examples like Zacchaeus, who really had a hunger and thirst for something different in life. And Lord, sometimes we come very complacent. We kind of settle in where we are as Christians, and we are not willing to get out of our comfort zone or willing to even speak in your behalf. And I pray, Lord, that we remember that we're just not Baptists, but we're Christians. That's the only way we'll enter heaven is because we know you personally. It's not by denomination or affiliation. It's by knowing you personally. Lord, I pray that this morning that we will search, each one of us will search our hearts and say, Lord, I know where I'm not where I need to be. I want to be more. I want to do more. I want to be more effective. I want my life to cause other people to thirst for something that I have. And that is Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray this invitation, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is already at work, already prompting each one of us, Lord, to examine ourselves personally, not thinking about anyone else or anything else, but just looking at our own inward life, ourself. Willing to, Lord, say, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. Just plain and simple as that. Lord, we thank you. All we have to do is only trust you, and you'll do the rest. We want to praise you, and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. 3:30 is our invitation. Only trust him.